Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we're going to open up the phones now for your thoughts on the second anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, August the 27th, a day that Americans should long remember. And actually, one of my questions is whether Americans outside the New Orleans area really are remembering it. We really will remember it, even this shortly after the original event. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And by the way, for those of you who are expecting a segment that I had mentioned on health insurance, we're going to have to put this off to later in the week. But for right now, we think it's really important to acknowledge the second anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Now, this is a New York-based talk show. We don't have investigative reporters in New Orleans. We're not going to be able to bring you right now a lot of new information. I think the network, NPR, has been doing a good job of that over the 2 years. But for right now, this is kind of a more affective kind of call-in. Do you think that you have a connection with New Orleans? Do you think that it's actually in New York's consciousness as much as it should be? 212-433-WNYC. Anyone with a connection to New Orleans or Hurricane Katrina, especially invited to call in today and just tell us about how you're feeling and how it's going at 212-433-9692. But I remember New York Times columnist David Brooks, shortly after the hurricane, went on the News Hour on PBS, and he said he doesn't know what it's going to be yet, but the hurricane is going to bring great change to America and American politics. Anybody remember that? And then it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And David Brooks came on this show about a year later. It wasn't really to talk about Katrina. It was to talk about some other columns primarily. But I asked David Brooks, you made that prediction that Hurricane Katrina and what was revealed by Hurricane Katrina, the failure of government, the entrenched invisible poverty, previously invisible poverty, that these were going to be lightning bolts politically in the United States. And did it really happen? I didn't see that it was happening. And he agreed. He said no. He expected much more political fallout from Hurricane Katrina than ever happened in this country. And, you know, when you think about it, it's really a damn shame, isn't it? Not much has really been done about poverty. These new poverty figures happen to be out today. Funny that they get released on this day of all days, not tied to Hurricane Katrina. It's just, I guess, the rotation of Census Bureau figure releases. And they show up. No, not much has changed. Poverty's gone down. Not much has changed. Health insurance has also gone down, which was going to be the topic for now. We'll do that later in the week. But not much has changed. You know, John Edwards running third in the Democratic presidential race, trying to make Katrina and poverty a centerpiece. Doesn't look like he's going to get the nomination. You know, who knows? It's early. Maybe he'll come back and win it. But do Americans care? Do you care? Is there enough that has sunk in to you from Hurricane Katrina? Is there enough that you think has sunk into other people's consciousness if you are a New Orleanian yourself? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Colleen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Colleen, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
What are you thinking?
I'm missing New Orleans. I grew up there. My parents just moved up here to Long Island because they couldn't take the hurricanes anymore. Too much hurricane damage. They were losing their investment, possibly would lose their investment in their home if it got damaged.
This is before Katrina.
Actually, they moved after Katrina.
Uh-huh.
So they had some hurricane damage after Katrina and were concerned that they'd lose the entire home if there were a flood with a future hurricane that was, let's say, above a Category 3.
Where are they now?
They're in Setauket.
And what happened to their home?
They had roof damage, you know, glass. Nothing as major as, let's say, other friends who are in New Orleans. Actually, they were lucky.
Were they able to sell the home?
They were. You know what they did? They went right back to New Orleans immediately after the hurricane, grabbed the first contractor they saw driving down the street.
Huh.
And if you didn't do that, you would not get work done in your home for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And then it was too late because all the other homes were trying to be sold.
Right. So what do you think the lessons of Hurricane Katrina are 2 years later? Outside of your personal situation.
Right. I still, similar to what you were saying, I'm concerned about our underserved population. So we have refugees within our own United States, and I know we're concerned about Iraqi refugees, and we should be in other countries. But we have them within our own United States, from New Orleans. And what's been lost in this national discussion is, how do we help them get a new life, whether they're in Houston or if they choose to go back to New Orleans? And what can we do in terms of public policy to make that possible?
And some people objected at the time to having that word used about them, refugees. But I always thought that there was so much that was accurate about that word and the way people wound up, that it was or should have been very powerful in the American consciousness, given the way we generally think of refugees, you know, somewhere in Chad or something, and that there were refugees in America, and many of them still are displaced. But, Colleen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Lula in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lula.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine. I was just telling John before that I have family in New Orleans that have been living there from the last 40-something years. We are Cuban originally, and my uncle and four children, and one of them was living in Houston. That's what they camped out, you know.
In Houston. Yes.
You know, and now, you know, I was there last year for Christmas, and I was absolutely devastated for what I saw. It was like, you know, the just 10 blocks from my uncle, where he almost lost his house, you know, but he was able to recover it. 2 blocks from my uncle and 10 blocks further even, you know, there was complete erased homes, you know, like they have to turn it down because there were, this is a high, you know, a middle class, high middle class neighborhood. You
and,
know.
And what do they need that they're still not getting?
Well, most of them are living in trailers still, you know, and the problem was that, you know, some of the insurance companies, they were paid up, you know, to rebuild the houses, you know, because the houses were completely lost. They have to turn it down because there was no way to repair them. So they have to rebuild a house there. And most of them, what they are doing is that even my uncle's doctor moved out of New Orleans because he lost all his office, he lost all his records. He could not rebuild his office, so he moved to Alabama.
So, Lula, you're talking about upper middle class people still living in trailers 2 years later.
Absolutely.
Is it a failure on somebody's part, or is it just how long it takes?
Well, you know, my judgment is that there have been a broken down system here somehow, because it's unconscionable that there are people, you know, in an upper middle class neighborhood are still living in trailers. I cannot take it. I cannot give it. You know, I cannot think about it, you know, because for me, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Lula, thanks for calling. Good luck to you and your family.
Okay, thank you.
Rochelle in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Rochelle.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having this program. I'm going back to New Orleans around the 12th of September. My daughter's been living there for 10 years. And we were in New Orleans the day before the hurricane hit. And we, you know, had to scuttle to get things prepared. Since the hurricane, it's been a very sad scene, and many people have left. My daughter is thinking of leaving. The only people who don't seem to have any problem with it are the wealthy, who live in the higher ground, and their lives are going forward as usual. But for the lower ninth and all the other people who have suffered through this terrible national disaster, they haven't gotten any help from the government. And I don't even know if George Bush has the nerve to go down there. anniversary.
I don't think it would make a good photo op for him.
I don't
right now.
Think so. But it's kind of tragic, and I don't know whether the average American remembers it, but I have met people all over the United States wherever I went during this period who were volunteers, a lot of senior citizens, too, who've gone down there to help out on different tours of volunteering. So there are a lot of Americans who do care, but without the government influence, which they promised the world, you know.
So your faith in humanity is up, your faith in the government is down?
You're just about right.
Rochelle,
yes.
Thank you, and good luck to you and your family. And here is one of those volunteers. Suraj, calling from Richfield, Connecticut, was a doctor in the Superdome during Katrina. Suraj, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I am a Iranian-American. I was during those few days in Superdome, and I worked with the FEMA in the triage part, and few times with the chopper moving patients from Superdome to Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was working in the LSU in Baton Rouge.
So what are you thinking today?
Yeah, the only thing I wanna bring up is the very first few days, unfortunately, there were a possibility to move many patients, especially the older patients that I have had in arena and near the triage.
Right.
Position.
So in the first few days, the possibility of moving the patients. Uh-huh.
Yeah, moving them from the Superdome area to Baton Rouge, and unfortunately, there were lack of cooperation, and I have to bring up this one.
Lack of cooperation. So you're calling with this memory, really?
Yes, and as I told you, I have been several times on the chopper moving the very critical patients to Baton Rouge, but we have had several old patients that they have been transferred from the other hospital in the Superdome, and I'm talking about the people they have had age ranging from 1995.
Right. So, Suraj, I'm going to leave it there, but Suraj calling with some of his memories of the difficulties of getting patients to safety, especially elderly patients, in those first days. Andrew in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
My mom escaped Sunday night. She lived in Waveland, which is Mississippi, which was the eye of Katrina. And she's down there now with a FEMA trailer.
The weekend, remind me, was it a Monday or a Tuesday?
It was a Sunday night. It was a Sunday night. The storm rolled in Monday, very early hours.
Right.
And that's when it happened. And she spends half her time out of the state with friends and half her time in Waveland in her FEMA trailer. And she's
to this day.
To this day. And originally the program was going to be for 2 years, but they're going to have to extend it. And my concern today is actually the health side of living in these trailers with formaldehyde, an array of chemicals. There are side effects that that they're just learning about when you just live in a FEMA trailer for an extended period of time. That's a concern of mine. And the thing I take from it that all New Yorkers should take from it, from Katrina, is how take a look at your insurance policies. You have no idea how hard your insurance company is going to fight you, parse words, try to wiggle out of responsibility if you ever have to pursue a claim. What's happened down in Mississippi and Louisiana with these insurance companies and their lobbyists trying to not be responsible on their policies is unbelievable.
It's true. And one big one that emerged early on, I remember, is that if people had what was called hurricane insurance, it wasn't necessarily also flood insurance. And the insurance companies, some of them were trying to make the claim that, well, no, you didn't have hurricane damage, you had flood damage.
And they're doing that. There are homes there with the roofs completely off them but the water marking was only midway to high on the wall, so the water never got to the roof. But the insurance companies were telling people, oh, the, it was a water event that took your roof off,
exactly.
Not a wind event.
There
so
you
they're
go.
Posting words. You have to cover your insurance well.
And you know what else, Andrew? I'm glad you called with a story from Mississippi, because we say New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, but the hurricane hit more than New Orleans.
That's right. They're still finding people. There's people they haven't even found in Mississippi to this day.
Andrew, thanks for your call. And by the way, I'm told that President Bush is, in fact, in New Orleans. He and Laura are going to be photographed at a charter school. So maybe this is a policy twofer. I don't know. But it's look, it's the right thing to do. And whether there's going to be political blowback on the president because he's seen as a failure in New Orleans, it's just the right thing to do for him to go today. And I'm glad he did it. Ruth calling from Kennedy Airport. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you doing at the airport?
I work here.
Oh, you work there. Okay. And?
Well, I was a volunteer for FEMA. I work for the Department of Homeland Security. I volunteered for FEMA. I was down and assigned to Galveston, Texas for 5 weeks to handle evacuees, to try to get them temporary housing. And it just struck me very strangely this morning when I thought about what happened down there, and I'm saying, and I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. In New York, here on after 9/11, they are still searching for bone fragments of people that died during 9/11, and yet there are still bodies rotting in houses in New Orleans that they haven't even found, and other places along the Gulf Coast. And I just think that it's such a tragedy that because those people were poor. And I dealt with most people who are poor, that this country abandoned them. And it's truly horrible because there was a culture that was present in New Orleans life, especially in the black communities, that will never be able to be replicated anywhere else in the United States.
And Ruth, we have to leave it there because we're out of time, but I'm glad you called and got the last word. Now back to work, Ruth, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you. We thought it was really important to take a few minutes out today just to touch base and recall. And boy, did we hear stories of how things today, still, this is not just a reminiscence, today, still, things are not at all right. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.